Tampa Bay's Tan Talk Radio Network.
Tampa Bay's Tan Talk. Entertaining and informative radio for the Sunshine State.
It's now time for Connecting Caregivers with author, speaker, caregiver advocate, and talk show host, Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for caregivers.
All the caregivers around the world today, it's time to lift you up, it's time to celebrate, it's time to give you.
Welcome to Connecting Caregivers with me, Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregivers, with love, laughter, and lessons learned. Woohoo, here we are. That's not a great, you know, I love that song. We played a little bit more of it today. That song was written for me by my friend Chad Harper years ago. We met on the internet from an article I had written about kindness, and then found out that his class, he was a music teacher, had to go to the internet and find inspirational stories to write a song. So he sent me this song, Random Acts of Kindness. And then I ended up, he was a hip-hop artist teacher in Brooklyn. So next time I went to New York, I met him, and then he wrote me that caregiver song. So that was very cool.
He is very cool.
He's in Africa now, and he's still teaching music and all sorts of, and helping kids and all sorts of great things.
Good for him.
So welcome, we have Vince on the boards today. How are you doing, my friend?
I'm doing fine, how are you?
Joyful and grateful and glad to be here. And with me, as always, is my best friend, my co-host, and my sidekick, not sidekick, Lynn Thornley.
You might as well just say twin.
Well, yeah.
Same color
sweaters.
You never know. I know.
You never know what's going to happen. I mean, it's like 95% of the times we match with no plan. So, I don't know. We don't want to clash, though.
So. No, it's good.
It's all good.
We did something exciting this week.
What did we do?
We got our second COVID vaccination.
Yes, we did get our second COVID vaccination.
It's nice they let us sneak in, only being 50, eh?
It sure is. And we have today with us, too, Teresa Wilbanks, my friend, another caregiver advocate with Sustainable Caregiving. We're so glad that you're here today.
Yes. Oh,
thank you. So amazing to be here.
And she brought us wonderful, soft, hugging pillows today.
Ooh.
It's just so, Lynn's choking herself.
Oh, there it is.
Yeah.
There it is.
Love me.
There you go. It's just so nice.
Soft.
Yeah, everybody needs something like that. It's always, thank you.
Yes,
thank you. We appreciate that. So today's the first day of spring.
Spring has sprung.
That makes me happy. I'm just noticing as I'm walking more things, flowers. And, you know, since I've been taking the photos for 7 years now, I know when certain flowers are coming now, or by somebody's certain house that there's nothing there, but if you go there 3 months later, there's whatever.
That's right. All the crepe myrtles, they won't be back for another month or two.
No, so it's kind of fun just to go out and see the different things, and I'm doing pretty good with my steps.
Are you?
Yep, I thought it was going to be tough. I had a little bad reaction to the second shot. Actually, I felt like somebody hit me with a baseball bat for 2 days. No fever, no nothing, a little coldness, little sweats. I'm just starting to feel back to normal, but I'm glad that I got it, and I'm glad that it's done. Next Friday, I fly to New York.
You'll feel a little safer having it.
And then I just feel like nobody's going to bother me. Like, did you do this? Did you do that?
Don't forget
the rules
are
always changing.
I know.
So, but I will be glad to go to New York next week. It'll be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I get to see my stepmother in Manhattan, Heidi, and she has some girlfriends that before COVID, they would go to a Broadway show once a week, either off-Broadway, on-Broadway, or whatever. And they call themselves, they were all in their 80s, the Cheesecake Chicks. So before the show, they go to a restaurant and they have a piece of cheesecake and a glass of champagne. So some of the restaurants near the theater district got to know them. They'd be like, here come the Chicks. So the Chicks are going to stop by when I'm there the one day. So I'll be glad to see all the Chicks. And then I'm going out to Queens to my brother's. My brother has Parkinson's, and he's having a lot of issues. So I'm going there to help out. I just rented a scooter for him.
Did you rent it?
Yes. It's going to be delivered the day before I get there. I told him, David, we're going to be scooting around town.
Oh, that'll be good for him. He'll feel better. I know when Jack could scoot down to Clearwater Beach every day.
He was
a new person.
Yeah, change of scenery.
Yeah.
Just to see something different.
And I always had the house to myself.
Yeah.
That was my biggest thing with my husband, is I never was in my own home by myself.
Yeah.
Because he was going to Clearwater.
You know what it's like.
Absolutely.
And it's just, sometimes it's not that I'm going to do anything, but it's just
fresh air, nature.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's nice to be by yourself sometimes at home.
Yes.
Just in your own space and everything.
And that can be hard when you're caring for a family member.
Yeah. It's even hard when you have other family members that you're not caring for.
Oh, well, that's true.
My grandson lives with me. He's going to be 17 tomorrow.
Yeah.
And it's different when someone else is in the house.
Well, because you worry about him. He works till late at night, and if he's not there, she calls him, "Where are you? I'm still,"
it's just... Yeah. I got stuck a little later at work. Or like the other night, it was like almost 1 o'clock, and he rides his bike. And I call him up, and I'm like, "What?
I'm at the gym, Grandma."
Well, just text me and tell me that.
That's all.
Yeah.
But yeah.
He's under your roof. He goes by your rules. That was my father's saying.
Okay.
That's fair.
So we have new listeners. We have Maureen from Dunedin. We have Joan from Aubrey, Texas, and we have Vicky from Homosassa, because I like to say that. Homosassa.
Welcome, ladies.
Welcome, ladies. There's always plenty of room around the Connecting Caregivers table for new listeners, whether you listen live when we're on the show or on YouTube or the website or wherever. So, Teresa, I'm so glad that you're here today. We became friends a couple of years ago. We do a lot of similar kind of work, same things.
Yeah.
And you just finished a caregiving journey with your dad.
I did. Dad passed on December 16th. He was 99 years old.
Wow.
Yeah, 99. And, even though he was 99, it was a bit unexpected. His mom lived to be 104. And we really thought he was on that same path, or at least, up over 100. So while it caught us off guard, things couldn't have happened any better, and that we were there with him and it was peaceful. And we had said everything we needed to say, we'd had those conversations and, that were meaningful, and we knew what was important to him as far as what a good death looked like. And so we were, even though it was short notice, we were able to make sure that he was comfortable and
he got to be at home.
And he was at home, and we were with him.
That's a big deal.
And can I just say, he painted the day before. That's his big love, his hobby. So, we did not see this coming. He was painting. And I have that final picture that he was painting.
Oh, that goosebumps.
Yeah.
What was it of?
It was landscape. So it was a beautiful, it was actually the blue hole? I can't think of where it is. I have never been there, so I'm going to go visit.
The Aurora Borealis?
No, it's in water. It's called the Blue Hole, and it's in the West. But, gorgeous painting, and he had his gin at 3, and I went and sat with him, and we chatted like every day we've been doing because, my husband and I, Joe, we became his social everything because of the pandemic. It was just us. So we had this kind of standing date where he would get his gin and I would go sit. And, I would ask him questions just about to go deeper into some of the stories he used to always tell. Because you kind of, you hear the same stories, but I'm like, well, there's a reason he's telling that over and over. It's just, it's really significant. Yeah. And I learned a lot of fun things. I learned that he had been engaged before my mom.
Oh, wow.
I learned that his middle name was named after his mother's first love, the one that got away. I mean, these are things I found out in his 98th year.
So don't give up stuff when you get older. You don't hide anything anymore.
Yeah, questions. I'm like, so Dad, what are your memories, about before this? And so, I found out quite a bit.
Do you have siblings?
I have a brother. He's in Orlando, so he's not too far away. But the day he passed, he watched Mass on TV like he always does. He listened to Sinatra, so, we had his favorite music playing. And this is, Joe and I knew what was coming. I don't know that Dad did. He was calm, and it was just really nice that he was able to enjoy the things that he loved in the last few days. And
you know what? Wow. It's like I was saying before the show, we're all going to die.
It's a journey that has the same destination for all of us.
So how is that journey going to be? That journey going to be terrible and scary and frightening and you make it?
Exactly. And I feel like it's all about, it's the conversations we can have ahead of time so we understand, you know, what our wishes are, what our, you know, family members' wishes are.
Yeah.
It does take some self-exploration. You know, you kind of get in touch with your own mortality, your own, you know, what that might look like for you so that you can have that conversation with someone else.
Right.
Because it is uncomfortable. You know, as a society, we don't, you know, talk about death. It's just something we really avoid. It's,
right.
It's, you know, right. Can bring up some fear, so.
But it's so necessary. You know, my friend, Maureen Rulison and Brian
yes,
LeBlanc.
Yes, yes.
They just went to, I was supposed to go with them, but I wasn't feeling well, to Heartland, and it's up in, they were actually went with, a, they were meeting a death doula there.
Yeah.
Because they're considering one day having a death doula. And the place is called Heartland, and it's up in Newport Richey, and it's like sacred, where they can bury you just in a shroud with no chemicals, you know, whatever. And it just, there's so many different choices, but if you we don't take the time to speak about this, you're going to get whatever somebody thinks you might want.
Well, that's true. And with Dad, I asked him what he felt. This was how I approached it because I was very, you know, nervous about the conversation, even though he was in his late 90s. I asked him how he felt or what would be a good death for you. And he said, you know, he told me. And from that, you know, Joe and I were able, we understood that he didn't want to be in the hospital. You know, that was something he absolutely did not want. Yeah. So, and yeah, just to...
Did you have hospice come in?
We did. You know, I started hospice. He was diagnosed with an interstitial lung disease about a year ago. And I actually started hospice because of the pandemic. And I knew that if he needed care, I wasn't comfortable taking him out of the home.
Yep.
And they could help me. And because we had hospice with Mom, I knew that they were amazing.
Yes.
I didn't want to wait until the weeks before.
Right.
So this was almost a year before.
That's fabulous.
Yeah, and they were fantastic because when he out and let me just he had a UTI the week after we started, they were able to handle everything. Yeah. I would have had to take him to a clinic, and this was right at the beginning of the pandemic. We were all so afraid that if you touched anything, you'd
right.
get,
yeah.
you know, it was like I just knew that if he walked into a clinic and there was maybe anybody else there, he wouldn't survive it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they were, and you know, that's just one example, but they were fantastic. And
well, you know, when I felt that Tom needed hospice, that we needed to call in hospice, he didn't want me to call in hospice because we, you know, the bad word hospice. And I said to him, Tom, if we don't call in hospice and something happens and you stop breathing or you fall down and get hurt, I'm going to call 911. I said, when I call 911, they're going to take you to the VA hospital. I'm never going to see you again because it's COVID. You're going to be in there. I'm not going to be able to come and see you, and you might die in there. Mm-hmm. And he's like, call hospice immediately.
Well,
but that's the truth.
That and it is frightening for a lot of folks because it they do often have a connection that means, you know, you have 2 weeks or 4 weeks, and this is
that's
it.
That's what they
so
think.
Death sentence. Well, with Dad, when I had brought in hospice for Mom, it was one of the biggest fights Dad and I ever got, and he told me to get out of the house, never come back. And so I knew when I approached him with it, I had to be very careful and how I did it. And, you know, I told him with the pandemic, I was concerned that I wouldn't be able to provide the care that he needed and that, and just what you shared, like if he had to go to the hospital for anything, that it would be riskier being there than
yeah,
being at home.
He'd be by himself.
Exactly. And I said, yeah, he'd be by himself. Can you imagine? And so I said also, you know, we can stop hospice.
Right.
You know, we can always stop it. So when the pandemic ends and it's safe, you know, we can stop it. And that, I think, is what really helped him. And he kept forgetting why they were there. He said, tell me again, like months later, why we have hospice here. He wanted to be reassured that it wasn't because
I'm going tomorrow.
Exactly.
So with your mother, he was just afraid it meant death?
He was afraid of what that meant.
Did you finally get to have them?
I did, because I was living in France. And how I got to hospice was, it was just the last, I was almost at my wit's end, and she needed more care than what Dad could provide, and I found all these other agencies, but even piecing them together, he wouldn't be able to manage that. I went and asked for their advice, and they said, you know, I know you're not here for our services, but I think we can help. And they had everything set up within a day.
They are fabulous.
Yeah. Yeah.
And your father let them in?
He did. I don't remember exactly how that got resolved because I honestly felt like we may never speak again. It was that traumatic for him.
Yeah.
But you know, those hospice people are so darn special.
I think that's it.
That you just fall in love with
and
them.
And they don't really have to tell you they're from hospice.
No. No, just a nurse coming in to help. Check on you,
exactly.
You know, whatever.
I know hospice scared me, the name of it. And then I realized some people graduate.
Yeah.
And they don't
my
need it anymore.
Did.
Yeah, so
he just graduated from hospice. He graduated from hospice and he graduated from 24/7 oxygen. Yes.
Wow, that's clip.
Yeah. That's awesome. Wow.
Yeah. So that's really, really fabulous. Yeah. So
you lived in France.
7 years in France. We moved back. We were saying our goodbyes 7 years ago today. Facebook memories. You know, seven years ago today. Yeah, so we were saying goodbye to everybody.
So you speak French?
Yes, but I haven't. We've been back for 7 years, so.
Did you know it before you went?
No.
Oh, you are gutsy.
And it was awesome because we lived in the country and nobody spoke English.
So you had to.
I was very motivated to learn. Yeah, and everybody was so super friendly and helpful. And
what made you move to France?
Oh, my husband's work.
He
was going to have to move to, we were going to move to Detroit with his work, and I'm like, no, and I love my job, so we were just going to keep going with my work, because, then he's like, well, we could move to France. And I'm like, well, done.
Wow. All right.
Done.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, my granddaughter's in Germany right now. And
that's right.
Unfortunately, there's so much quarantine going on that they haven't been able to travel. Because you can hop over to Italy. So I'm like, honey, as soon as things open up, you know Grandma's going to be there.
See, she doesn't need to learn the language, though, because she's on base.
Yeah.
And everybody.
Well, some stuff she does. At work, she does.
Oh, does she?
At work, a lot of the people speak. They all don't speak.
I bet she's picking it up.
Yeah. You know, when you're younger.
She's young still, yeah.
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 Yeah, you're younger. It makes a big difference.
Definitely.
Okay, so tell us about how sustainable caregiving started.
Well, it started because after the first couple of years, I felt like I was drowning. And
You probably were.
I was, and I just knew that wasn't sustainable. So the caregiving path I was on was not sustainable. And I figured out, like, it really took kind of years of, why am I not managing this well? I'm very capable. I was capable in my career. Why can't I do this? And so I just dove in, and I realized that I was lacking a lot of the strategies. I hadn't, you know, set myself up for success. I mean, I didn't know what I was getting into.
Right.
And in order for, you know, the journey for me to continue and for it to be sustainable, I had to change some things. And I can tell you, like, one of the moments that just really stuck out is I was in line at the grocery store, and I realized I was just irritated with everybody and everything, and that wasn't me. Like, I had no compassion for myself, for Dad's situation, for anybody around me.
Scary, isn't it?
It was scary. Like, who am I? Yeah. And is this permanent? And, you know, I don't want to be this person,
like this.
And I don't know how to not be this person. And Linda, you spoke about it last week, I think, on your caregiver tip, it was about compassion fatigue. So in my deep dive, I found out that's what's going on. I'm burned out. This is possibly compassion fatigue. I just hope that I can, you know, there's another side to it. And I found that other side. And I found that, you know, I hadn't established any boundaries when I started the journey. I hadn't taken care of myself. There were so many things I had not done, and that's why I lost all my compassion. So that's what the gifts for you are. This is the way I like to share now, just to protect your compassion. This is a blue pillow, a very soft blue pillow in the shape of a heart. And imagine your compassion is inside this pillow. And you're holding it to your chest, and you're sitting on a cloud. Now, the cloud has all these different shapes around it. There are boundaries that are ebbing and flowing and moving. And those are your boundaries. And they're protecting you. So you stay on your cloud, and your boundaries will protect you. And then when somebody steps on your cloud, you say, hey, you, get off of my cloud. But you say it with compassion. And when how you know somebody kind of stepped on your cloud boundary is you have this anger that you can't explain. So as soon as you feel anger, you can recognize maybe a boundary was crossed. Maybe I need to set a boundary. Maybe I need to, you know, adjust a boundary, reinforce a boundary. And if you start to look at anger in that way, you can see that you have a little more control over things than maybe you thought you had. I hadn't set up any boundaries. They were being, just crossed constantly. I hadn't set up boundaries as far as how much help
it
I would...
It feels like you're out of control.
You're out of control. You're doing everything, and you're
right.
Like, well, I didn't... think about having a limit of when this was too much. And Dad's happy to let me do it all because he's comfortable with that.
Of course.
Yeah, and he said, I don't need help.
Daughter.
Yeah, he's like, I don't need any help. I'm like, yeah.
I'm not doing nothing.
But
here.
I do. And then
I hear that all the time.
Yeah.
From the loved ones saying, I'm great. I'm good. What's the problem?
Exactly. And then, you know, then you're doing everything, so you're not taking care of yourself. So now you've got, you can see how all of a sudden you'd have no more compassion for anybody, including yourself. And so to step back, it's harder, you know, if we start with the boundaries, we start with the self-care, boundaries around self-care, all of that, then you don't really get, you might not get to that place of burnout. You can protect yourself.
Right.
So that's why it's so important to have those strategies in place beforehand. And it's so hard, though, because you don't see it coming.
You know, you don't see it coming. And a lot of these strategies are good for just for anybody. It doesn't have to be. But of course, what I all believe, we're all caregivers sometime, someplace, somewhere, whenever, anyway.
Yeah.
But I don't think that caregivers even think about boundaries in their caregiving experience. But we're going to talk about that in a minute, because right now we need to hear from our wonderful partners, because you know the deal. If you don't hear from them, you don't hear from me. So don't go away. We'll be right back on Connecting Caregivers.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Are you looking for compassionate and dependable home care for you or a loved one? Assisting Hands Home Care, serving Pinellas and Pasco counties, can help.
The day came that taking care of my mother was no longer the best thing for me or for her. Between kids and a job, I couldn't give her the attention she needed and deserved, and I was overwhelmed. So I reached out to Assisting Hands Home Care. Now I can see what an important decision that was, and I feel confident that my mother has compassionate and dependable caregivers who help her to stay happy, healthy, and home. Today, I'm able to visit with my mother and enjoy our time together, which is exactly what we both needed.
Assisting Hands Home Care. Call today for your free in-home consultation. In Pinellas, call 727-748-4211 or visit assistinghands.com. When you can't do it all, give Assisting Hands a call. Arden Courts is an assisted living facility designed to care for those that are struggling with dementia or Alzheimer's, where families and residents can feel the freedom with a nurse on site 24/7. Arden Courts provides specialized memory care in a safe and nurturing environment. They recognize every individual's physical, mental, and social needs and provide a secure environment that fosters independence for as long as possible. Walking paths, visual cues, and home-like amenities invoke a sense of freedom and independence. At Arden Courts, their goal is to make your loved one as comfortable, independent, and healthy as possible. They offer 10 hours a day of activities and programming with a unique setting of a home-like environment and 4 theme houses. It warms my heart to see how happy the residents are. Please call or stop in to talk with a representative. Arden Courts of Seminole at 727-517-7800, Largo 727-559-8411, or Palm Harbor 727-771-1600. Give them a call.
Is the fear of falling keeping you from doing the things you love? Do you suffer from diabetic neuropathy or plantar fasciitis? VoxLife can help. Whether you're caring for someone you love or being cared for, VoxLife wearable neurotech helps your body reach its full potential. Proven to reduce symptoms of diabetic neuropathy and plantar fasciitis, VoxLife also reduces the risk of falling in adults over the age of 55 by 8 times. VoxLife is a safe, simple, drug-free solution that optimizes your neurology. The biggest breakthrough in wellness in 50 years. VoxLife offers a 30-day money-back guarantee. You can't afford not to try it. To learn more about VoxLife, go to www.voxlife.com/caregivers. That's www.voxlife.com/caregivers. They help my parents and they can help yours too.
I see trees of green,
red roses too.
I see them blue
for me and you, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world.
Okay, caregivers, now it's time for the caregiver affirmation. Take a minute, take a deep breath, sit down, close your eyes if possible, and just listen to these words. I know on my journey there is help and hope. I affirm that I am a good caregiver, that I try my best each day, and I recognize that I deserve to have my own needs met just as much as those for whom I care. I promise I will not allow myself to be consumed by my caregiving role, and I will set aside time in my busy schedule just for me. I am mindful of the other caregivers in my life, and I will let them know that I appreciate their efforts. I am grateful for the people that walk beside me. I will take good care of my own health physically and spiritually, drink enough water, eat quality foods, allow for time to rest and to exercise, laugh often, if only at myself, and seek medical attention for my own health concerns. I am who I am, and I allow others to be who they are. Today I will add one item to my assisting angels list. Then if someone calls to say, let me know if there's something I can do, I will be ready to accept their offer and provide them with the opportunity to assist me. It is an honor to be of service of others, and I will not deny my friends and family this honor. Okay, think about it, caregivers.
So you know the deal. When somebody asks if they can help you, you say thank you very much. Right, Teresa?
That's right.
Or yes, please.
Yes, please. Either or. I so appreciate you. Can you help me right this minute?
That's right.
Here's my list.
Well, yeah, you know, we've talked about that before, about putting down a list of things you can accept help with, because I know many times I was just in that tornado going, I can do it, and wasn't really being as effective as I could have been.
Absolutely. And if you have a list ready, when someone asks you how they can help, it doesn't feel like, oh my gosh, I have to figure out how they can help.
Right.
You've got it right there.
Right. And please allow people to help you, because you could really hurt their feelings.
Yeah, it's a gift to them, really. You know, when somebody helps you, they feel good. And it's also,
well, when
a
you
gift
see
to them.
Somebody suffering and you keep saying, I want to help you, and you keep going, no, I'm okay, you're like, what the?
Yeah.
So you just say to them, this is my toilet, clean it. This is for you, I'm doing this. It's a gift to you. Clean my toilet? Okay. Don't be asking me that.
No. Well, and it's hard to talk about this during the pandemic, but it's true also, and we've said it, that it's a gift to the family member you're caring for if you have somebody else come in, because they get to see a different face.
Yeah.
Because they do get tired of this. My husband did. I went away and I came back and I thought I was the best caregiver in the world, and he went, oh, you're nice again.
Because you think you're doing so great.
I thought I was great because I was angrier than I was showing.
Yeah.
I had a lot more inside me to give, and I was holding it in, but I wasn't doing it properly.
Yeah.
And we know that the person feeds off of you.
That's so true. Yeah, all that angst that we're feeling.
Yeah,
that they'll also, you know, just it'll be reflecting that, and then
yeah. I always say to caregivers, and it sounds a little harsh, but if you don't take care of yourself, you're doing an injustice to your loved one.
That's true.
Because you can't be a good caregiver if you're not taking care of yourself.
Yeah.
And once you get into that, you don't realize you're not. You just don't realize it. I really thought I was, I could give lessons how good. I really did.
Yeah.
Until
he said that, I thought he was just mean.
So now that your caregiving journey has ended, well, for now, because I believe we all become caregivers many times in our lives, what's the next chapter? How are you doing with your grief? Tell me what's going on.
Yeah, so the grief's been interesting. I noticed in the first couple of weeks afterward, there was this profound loss, this sense of loss, this emptiness. And then I will say that I also recognize that I used to wake up every morning and have this weight of worry, just to make sure everything goes okay. How's Dad doing? Go check on him, you know,
right.
So many times a day. And that was interesting that I didn't feel that. So it was been a real, just like the caregiving journey, it's been a kind of a river of everything, of grief.
Some days you're just cool.
Yes, yeah.
And then you don't know what's going to happen. You know, you hear that song or whatever. The other day I'm out walking. So years ago, when I lived in New York, many years ago, I used to walk from our house 2 miles to a Dunkin' Donuts. And I used to get 2 donuts, one for my husband and one for my daughter, for their lunches. And I would walk back, and I didn't eat no donuts. I was being really good, you know. It was part of my exercise routine. So the other morning I'm walking, There's a Dunkin' Donuts near where I live, and my grandson lives with me, and I thought, maybe I'll go get him a donut. And all of a sudden, I just started bawling. I didn't get the donut or nothing. Yeah. It was, and you don't know.
You don't know.
Because that was just a very loving time in our life.
Mm-hmm. You know? That happened to me at Bell's. I went in with my cousin, and I saw the men's shirts. So I went outside, and I just crouched down, and I was crying. And this man came by in a wheelchair with no legs. And said, "Can I help you?"
Now you're really crying.
Yeah. No, he made me realize life will be. Yeah, I'm going to be okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's why I want to say to people that are listening, embrace the people that are grieving. It's okay, because it's hard to reach out. It's hard to reach out for help. I think it's harder to reach out in grief.
I think so, and that's it. I hadn't really reached out to anyone. I appreciated those few folks who would just text, and it might be just something silly, but I think they're just checking and giving me an opportunity to get back to them, and I think that's a great way. You know, if you know somebody's maybe struggling with it, you can just let them know you're there,
Let them know they're there, and just maybe when you do talk to them, just bring up, something great that happened. Well, I remember the time your dad did this.
Yeah.
You don't have to talk about the death. You don't have to talk about that. With Tom in the end, people want to send cards. Don't be sending him any get well cards. He's not going to get well. I think that's insulting. It's kind of terrible. And people don't know.
Yeah.
So I go, do me a favor. If you're going to send him a card, just reminisce.
That's great.
And the cards started coming in, and there was one girl. She was my first employee when I had my Molly Maid franchise. And I had forgotten all about this. And Tom taught her how to drive. She didn't have a license. She said, you gave me freedom as a woman. Now, I could cry right now.
Yeah.
But all those kind words came and were shared, and people were comfortable with it.
Yeah.
So sometimes we have to open it up.
Well, let me tell you something that just happened as a gift, and it was a hospice social worker who, she was new to us. Our social worker had been reassigned to another county, so she came in, and she just said to me, "Hey, you might want to start having some conversations with your dad, and maybe talk, have him share some things that he'd like to say to his son and granddaughter and other family members." And I thought, well, this is quite early.
Yeah, but, years to go.
But right? Okay. And then I thought, oh, this is awkward. How am I going to go ask him? Because, what sounded like, "Dad, your last words." When neither one of us saw this coming, and I knew that would be kind of, Christmas was approaching. And so I said, "Dad, let's make a video for Patrick and Tiffany."
Perfect.
Idea. And you can just say all the things that, you love about them, and just share lessons for them, especially for your granddaughter, your life lessons you'd like to share with her. And so we did that, and
what a gift
it was. And I, can you imagine? And it was a week later that he passed, and we did not know. I didn't have any idea that was happening. So then I thought, what a great idea for other people. So let's say Mother's Day is coming, and you can have someone just share,
a story,
anything to their daughter, to their granddaughters, and then you have this recording video, their words.
So. Yeah. Well, I had somebody. Well, first I had, when I was taking care of my mother, I had somebody interview my mother for 6 months.
Wonderful.
And my mother's like, my mother ever knew I paid for it, she would have shot me. Well, why would she want to do that? I go, for the fun of it, Mom. Well, my mom was pretty, like I am, and stuff. So the day of my mother's memorial, she brought me 10 CDs of my mother. I have one on her faith, one with me, one with my sister. Well, Tom already knew her because she had interviewed my mother. So 18 months before he died, she came over to my house and interviewed him. And it was like a 2-hour interview, and she edited it down to like an hour and a half. But it's so fabulous for his grandchildren to hear the different stories.
Yeah, but you said you learned things you didn't know.
Yeah, I knew that, because I knew a lot. I'm with him since I'm 19. And now I knew he was in the Boy Scouts. I knew his mother was the den mother. But I never knew that they had a play one time and they needed a girl, and they made him put on a blonde wig and be the girl. He was like 12 years old. He was so embarrassed. And the woman who was interviewing him said to him, "Did your mother have to really bribe you to do that one?" And he said to him, "No, when my mother asked me to do something, I did it."
Wow.
So, it shocks me.
Yeah. And it's nice to my grandchildren to hear that.
Yeah.
It's nice for my grandchildren to hear that. He sold so many subscriptions to the newspaper. He won a trip to Kennedy's inauguration.
Wow.
But the bus broke down in a snowstorm. But just to hear those stories, and when I had it, you know, after I had it done, because the deal was, I promised I wouldn't play it until after he passed away. And so I'm playing it with my brother-in-law. And my brother-in-law, the tears are going down his face because it was his childhood, too.
Oh, yeah.
He had the same grandma and grandpa. He played the same stickball. He, you know, and just different things about, like, because he had been married before me about, well, there was nothing wrong with anybody. We were just way too young.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and just those kind of words that my grandchildren probably would have never heard from him.
Yeah. What a gift.
So do that for yourself. And I think he really enjoyed it.
Yeah. After he did it, he didn't want to do it at first.
No, well, when she first came in, she said, she hooks up the microphone and everything, and she goes, I want you to say your name and today's date. And he couldn't remember the date.
Oh.
So he's like, I can't do this. So I opened up the refrigerator, took out a beer, put it in front of him, and said, start talking. And he started talking.
That's awesome.
All right, so let's talk a little bit more about how you help caregivers and that different things that you think caregivers need to know.
Yeah, I think that, you know, I look back on my journey, and that's where I started to realize where things went off the rails, and it was kind of in the beginning with accepting the fact that this is the role. And it was a switch that flipped when I'm like, oh, I get to be a caregiver.
Yeah.
And once that switch flipped, I was able to have gratitude. And before that, you know, I saw these other caregivers who had gratitude, and I thought, well, they're on a different path. It's on a different planet. I can't relate at all to that. I can't get from where I am to gratitude. And it's because of the burnout. So I try to help caregivers not beat themselves up if they can't find gratitude, you know, in their role and their responsibilities, because they might, you know, they need to work on some things first. So those things are just some of the things we talked about to get to acceptance is back up. Establish some boundaries, self-care, get routines in place where you're able to protect your self-care with boundaries and routines so that you have to take care of yourself so that you can take care of your family member. And then accepting that I try to help them see that, you know, winning is sometimes losing. There can be these battles that we're fighting. And they can, you know, we're resisting, and they're epic battles, like the, you know, medicine management or driving. They can turn into these battles that leave battle scars. It harms the relationship between you and your family member. And if we can try to look at it with empathy from their perspective, which is so hard because we're trying to protect them, but they want their independence, and, you know, it's battle after battle. And until we realize that, and I can, okay, so the big battles, you know, were the driving and the medicine management. Then there was the blueberry battle. This is a little hill that I had to take. And again, I share this with family caregivers so they can see in their own lives where they might be fighting for blueberry hill. Dad would, you know, the resealable bags of blueberries, big bags. Well, he would tear into the bag, so we couldn't reseal it. And so this is, we tried to solve it in all these different ways. And at the end of the day, you know, when I realized that I'm getting so frustrated over blueberries. This is so silly.
Put them in a Tupperware.
We did. And then he still found the bag. We didn't hide it enough. But it didn't matter at the end of the day. You know, this is like, this isn't a battle for, you know, safety versus independence, but it's just the little things. But this is, it's, if I am fighting about not blueberries, you know, then I'm losing. I may win this blueberry battle, but I've lost in the end.
Because
it's not, it's just.
No one's comfortable.
If we look at where we're trying to get to, you know, what our goals are, it's to maintain our relationship and help him, you know, just go through the last years of his journey with, you know, just living his life.
A little dignity at the
end. A little dignity and acceptance, that's,
it's
a big part of it.
But we need to have the conversations. That's the biggest thing. We need to have the conversations. And we need to have conversations not just with our loved ones. We need to have a friend or somebody we can talk to. You know, I'm so glad I have Lynn. We've had each other for 40 years. You know, not everybody has that. But reach out to somebody, whether it's a therapist, whether it's you, whether it's me, whether it's... Just reach out to somebody and let them know how you're feeling, because until you can admit how you're feeling and spit it out, you can't make it to the next step.
That's true, and I'll just echo that and say that sometimes your friends who are not caring for a family member, you can talk with them and they don't get it. And if they don't get it, you're not going to feel hurt. In fact, you might feel worse than when you started talking. So just like you said, Linda, a therapist, you know, or
caregiver advocate,
support group. There are a lot of folks you can talk to, caregivers who've been there and they get it.
And sometimes, you know, it might even be for some people, they still don't want to talk to somebody. Go watch some YouTube videos. There are Absolutely. YouTube videos about caregiving. You know, go to you can see all my tips of the shows. Just get that information, because as you try to release yourself and accept the position you're in, the more education you get, the better it's going to be for everybody.
Yeah.
Everybody. And there are wonderful products out there and different things that you don't... I mean, I learn something new every single day from a caregiver. From somebody.
Yeah, I do too.
You know, and I love that.
Yeah.
And we need to celebrate that. And, you know, when they bring that out of the support group and so you go, oh, I tried this and it worked. And everybody's like, yay! You know, it's good. You want to see everybody succeed.
I know.
Nobody says, I want to take care of this person and I want to be mad and I want them to be mad and I don't want anybody to come over and see us.
No. And, you know, venting includes journaling. I mean, that's a great way to get those emotions out
And spit it out, or maybe it's just walking, and it's okay to cry. It's okay to cry. That's another thing. And caregivers, they don't want to cry in front of their loved one. I know that. I understand you don't want to cry in front of your loved one, but that doesn't mean you don't cry at all.
Sure.
It's okay to go in your room and go in the bathroom, in the shower, and have a good cry because you deserve it. What you're doing is not easy, not easy at all. But right now, it's time to hear from our wonderful partners. So don't go away. We'll be right back on Connecting Caregivers.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Choosing the right chiropractor is an important choice to make. Located in Seminole, the Alexander Spine Center team is trained on the latest chiropractic treatments and technologies. At Alexander Spine Center, you'll find chiropractic and physical therapy care that is safe, effective, and a natural approach to pain and other health-related issues. Chiropractic unlocks your body's potential and natural healing process to ensure your life is a healthy life. We treat clients from the womb to the tomb. Call 727-397-3000 for a free consultation today or visit our website at www.alexanderspinecenter.com.
They take good care of me twice a week. And did you know they got the Reader's Choice Award for 2019 for the best chiropractic in Pinellas County? So check them out. Arden Courts is an assisted living facility designed to care for those that are struggling with dementia or Alzheimer's, where families and residents can feel the freedom with a nurse on site 24/7. Arden Courts provides specialized memory care in a safe and nurturing environment. They recognize every individual's physical, mental, and social needs and provide a secure environment that fosters independence for as long as possible. Walking paths, visual cues, and home-like amenities invoke a sense of freedom and independence. At Arden Courts, their goal is to make your loved one as comfortable, independent, and healthy as possible. They offer 10 hours a day of activities and programming with a unique setting of a home-like environment and 4 theme houses. It warms my heart to see how happy the residents are. Please call or stop in to talk with a representative. Arden Courts of Seminole at 727-517-7800, Largo 727-559-8411, or Palm Harbor 727-771-1600. Give them a call.
Guaranteed to make you laugh through your tears, Linda Burhan's book, Good Night and God Bless, is filled with humor and heartfelt inspiration to aid anyone facing the challenge of caring for a loved one at the end of life. Her story offers hope for human strength and understanding of weaknesses during a difficult time. Life doesn't normally prepare us to become a loved one's caregiver. When it happens, it's usually sudden. A diagnosis of an illness, age-related frailty, dementia, and life suddenly is anything but normal. And because we don't even know what we don't know, where do we turn to for help or guidance? In Connecting Caregivers, answers to the questions you didn't know you needed to ask, Linda offers information, education, and inspiration from her own experience and from experts whose advice, practical tools, and personal stories will empower and guide you. Make sure to add these inspiring books to your collection today, available on Amazon.com.
Don't turn it off now. You need this stuff. Tampa Bay's Tantalk Radio Network.
And And we're off. That means time to get your pen and paper because Lynn's got good stuff to tell you.
I do.
Yes, you do.
You don't really need your pen and paper, though, because to RSVP for any of these following events, you have to just go to lindaburhans.com, send her a message, and Linda will send you the link. All right, on April 1st at 11 a.m., Arden Courts presents a Zoom webinar, The 9 Most Common Forms of Dementia with Tam Cummings. And then
can I just say something about that? It's very important for people to get the proper diagnosis and to know that there's different kinds of dementia because there's different behaviors. So I would highly recommend that for anybody, especially if you're a newbie.
Yeah.
Because you don't know.
Exactly. And then Linda's journaling workshop for caregivers is the second Monday of each month. The next one will be April 12th. And then A Daughter's Journey with Love, Laughter, and Lessons Learned on May 5th. At Freedom Square with Linda.
At Freedom Square where my mom used to live.
And you will be live and on?
I'll be live and Zoom for that one. So that'll be very nice.
So if you're going live, you don't need to call and get the link.
Yeah, but then you still gotta contact me because we have to have so many people RSVP because I think they're going to have refreshments.
Oh,
and
nice.
Stuff or whatever. So kind of thing. I don't know what changes every day, how socially distanced they're going to be, how many live they're going to allow or whatever, but we'll see.
We're getting there.
But also on Saturday, May 8th, the Veteran Heat Factory is planning a fundraising event at the VFW Hall. There'll be some bands and musicians playing songs from the 1950s to the 1980s. And the Veterans Heat Factories helps people that have PTSD. Whether they're veterans or military or police officers or whatever. So that's a good thing, and I'll have all that information. They've been on the show before. They do a lot. They do a lot of really good things for our veterans. So thank you, and come and support them. I think you'll have a great time. So, Teresa, give us another sustainable caregiving tip.
Well, we touched on self-care, but I'll just say for caregivers, it looks a little different. So I just encourage family caregivers to reimagine self-care. So think about things that were your passions. I say were, they're still your passions, but maybe you're not able to participate. And how can you, you know, just redefine those, reimagine them to work within your caregiving day. So maybe you love to travel and you can't travel anymore. Well, you might be able to learn a language, the language for that next trip you're going to take, or that
that's a good
big
idea.
Destination that you had in mind. And there's so many simple ways to do that with apps like Duolingo, and that way you're still preparing for that future beyond caregiving.
Yeah.
Maybe you research the trip and you actually start planning it out. But you know, that's just one example. But you know, if you can create a comfy corner in your care recipient's home, your family member's home, where you can just go and take 5-10 minutes, maybe you meditate, maybe you read, you know, that's
just
what self-care looks like for a family caregiver. It's not going, you know, and doing an hour-long yoga class, maybe.
Right.
It's possibly doing 5 minutes of yoga. So have your space and have your activities, depending on, you know, your tea, depending on how you feel, you want to uplift your mood or whether you just want to, you know.
Chill.
Yeah,
you know,
chill.
I tell caregivers too, just everybody's got a cell phone. Set a couple of alarms. So I used to have an alarm at 2 o'clock in the afternoon that reminded me to pray. Sometimes I say to my caregivers, set 3 alarms a day so you remember to breathe.
Yeah. So true.
Just that alarm rings. Now you're cognizant of what's going on and you probably realize you're not breathing really well. And sit down and just take a minute, two minutes. I promise you'll feel better.
Because we find ourselves holding our breath.
Yeah.
And if we take a few minutes to breathe, then that we can change that whole dynamic and the whole pattern. But you're right, we have to set a timer to remember.
Yeah,
to
and
breathe.
It's simple though, because and then you once you set that timer and you start doing it on a regular basis, you feel better.
It's true.
And you're like, I am taking care of myself. Okay. So now maybe there's something else I could do to take care of myself a little more. Maybe I can see if my dog. So somebody said, I never have any time. I never have any time. So once if I get up at 5 o'clock or at 6 o'clock or at 7 o'clock, my loved one is up 5 minutes after I'm up.
Yeah.
But her daughter always wants to help her. So her daughter comes over in the morning now before she goes to work. And her mom has an hour. So her daughter is there, and if dad gets up, he gets up, or he doesn't. She may have a little conversation with dad. and then make them a little breakfast. And then the daughter goes to work, and the mother started the day out with that hour for herself, whether she wants to shower, whether she does want to run to the store, whether she just wants to go for a walk. Maybe she just wants to lay in the bed. She says, sometimes I just lay in the bed.
That's so awesome.
That's a great, perfect, easy solution that I'm surprised I didn't think about something like that before.
Well, my friend, Bernie, she ordered for 5 nights dinners from around the world. One night was Italy night, one night, and they send you all the ingredients and wine and whatever, and it takes less than 1 hour to prepare.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, how fun is that?
Yeah. Yeah. Just those simple little things. So where can our listeners find you? I know you're moving pretty soon from Florida. Tell us where you're going, what you're doing.
Well, heading to, we're going to base, my husband and I will base in Mississippi near his folks because they, you know, we just want to be closer to them. And we're going to go back to our nomad status. We were considered ourselves nomads on hiatus. And now we're going to go back to traveling and continuing to work. I'll be able to continue to work with family caregivers from everywhere.
Anywhere.
The pandemic has proven that, proof of concept that we can support each other from anywhere.
Are you anywhere near Laurel?
No, well, I don't know where Laurel is. Oh. This is Faulkner, Mississippi. It's north Mississippi. So
I just know it from the HGTV show.
Oh.
Hometown. Is it Laurel, Mississippi?
Oh, there you go.
I'll look it up.
So where can our people find you?
SustainableCaregiving.com, SustainableCaregiving@gmail.com.
And all her information is on my website, and all her information will be at the bottom of the show as we put it all together. Thank you so much. I'm so glad you could be here today. Then I got worried and I found you were moving and I thought, I won't get to see her before she goes. And so it's all good. I'm really glad you're here. And thank you so much for the pillow. I will think about you all the time. I will. You know, it's nice. Thank you so much. You know how much I appreciate you, caregivers. I know your time is really important. So anytime you tune into the show or the tips or the webinars, makes me happy. Because the caregivers that do that are the caregivers that care. The caregivers that want to have a better education and want to find how to take care of themselves are the caregivers who care. So I applaud you all. Remember, God loves you all the time. We'll see you next week for a really surprise special show next week. And have a delicious day.
When you're down and troubled, and you need a helping hand, and nothing, oh, nothing's going right, close your eyes and think of me, and soon I will be there to brighten up even your darkest night. You just call up my name, and you know wherever I am, I'll come running.